it's a little stock.
Basol, take one.
It's a big old fat motherfucker called
Blizzy Buzzard Buttocks.
Big Rigger Inspection Spatial.
Under my feet.
But look, with the biggest heavy band of all time.
I wouldn't ask you to do a drum roll if your arm fell off.
There was an incident with the pyrotechnics.
And Kirk!
Squillions of dollars and squillions of people.
How the fuck are you, Lars?
Piddly wants and wills and needs.
Lars Ulrich, drums and bongs.
What the fuck does that mean anyway?
I hate that fucking camera, man.
Well, since we started.
I'm talking about like a fucking live gig. You see this for, right?
What really gets my dick hard.
Mommy, where's Fluffy?
This is Mrs. Smith, a.k.a. the Queen of Wah, a.k.a. the crazy lady who swept the floor with Kirk Hammett, and you're listening to the And Podcast for All.
Welcome back to the podcast for all. I'm Shane Obershaw.
And I'm Jeff Winslow.
This episode is brought to you by Purified Water. Ever heard
Members
of it?
Mark. Members Mark Purified Water.
Like that? I stole that from work.
I like water, so I'm drinking in the Camo Yeti. Hey, hey.
Ding, ding, ding. Are you familiar with these crack tablets that I'm now addicted to?
Lifesavers, is that Pep-O-Mint or Wintogreen?
These are green. The bag is green. So Wintogreen.
I love those things. They're delicious. It's like minty chalk.
One more chalk. Chalk that's crack. Who would have thought that I'd be absolutely. You think I'm addicted to Spindrift in Sunkissed Zero? No. Wintogreen crack.
How long did it take you to finally realize that those things are amazing?
Yeah. You just froze for a split second.
Oh.
And then when you were talking, your voice sounded like a chipmunk because the speed was catching up.
What would be great is if it actually sounds like that.
I hope that's in there. God, I hope that's in there.
What I was saying is how many years did it take you to finally realize that those things are amazing?
Well, I always knew they were amazing, but for some reason, when I'm on the road and I have a bag of them, I can go through a bag in a day. That's not healthy, Clark.
That's probably not healthy.
No, no. That's why I have this with me this week.
That looks like a gun that massages shit.
You are very close. Now, you can't say gun in my line of work, so I call this a thera massager.
Therapeutic massage.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it's shaped, it's like an assault therapeutic because it's, you know, very.
You could rob a bank with this.
I've seen those things before.
You could rob a bank with this, and it looks like a weapon on like GTA or something.
Maybe Saints Row, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to check this thing out. Remember a couple of like months ago, actually when I was driving to your wedding, remember I had those shooting pains down my leg?
Yeah.
Yeah, this takes care of that. Listen to that.
For the people listening, they're probably saying, Shane,
listen to that shit.
That doesn't sound like what you think it sounds like.
I know, and I know everyone's going to jump to those conclusions, but, oh, dude, I got it on my leg right now. Fucking heaven. Hear that shit?
Do you hear that, folks? That is the sound of comfort.
You know, the metallic blue in the CB. Or metallic
optional,
P.
Yeah, optional rally fun pack. Metallic
all,
P.
All about the luxury
Antarctic
package.
Blue.
Oh, dude, this feels so good. I wonder how long this battery can last. I think it can last for 90 minutes as we babble.
It may get through 30 or 40 minutes, and then it might need to be charged. You know,
this thing's amazing.
Speaking of battery life, I got to say.
Battery go.
You know, obviously, Sony had the Walkman. back in the 80s. Oh,
I had
one.
I had a Discman.
But the Walkman, the original one, cassette tape. So they decided that they are going to do a new run of them. They're bringing it back, modernized. It's, you know, touchscreen and it's all digital.
I'm put my lifesaver in.
It's, you know, connected to different music platforms and yada, yada, yada.
So they're bringing it back in a digital format is what you're saying.
It's basically an MP3 player coming back. And a lot of people say, well, why would you need that? You have your phone. Mm-hmm. Well, their argument is, you know, with how much you use your phone for every other thing, whether it's social media, talking on the phone, texting, playing games, and then also using it for music, you know, it's something that you could really preserve your battery a lot more in your phone. You have this and it's basically still connected. You can be Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, but here is the kicker. 36-hour battery life.
What?
36 hours is what they're claiming. That is the battery. That's a long battery.
My car only goes for 5 hours.
Five. Elon needs to step his game up. He needs to go talk to Sony a little bit.
Does it? Now, this is news to me. Does it look like the old school Walkman from outside the casing?
So, it does. It definitely has a retro vibe. It's rectangular, looks like it's around the same size as the original one. The buttons are on the side, kind of like the original one was.
Play, but stop, fast forward.
But it definitely looks modernized. I wouldn't necessarily say it looks like the original, but you can tell that they took kind of some of the retro design aspects when designing this one.
I remember the original Walkman my brother had. I had a Discman. And then remember there was the bright yellow sports CD Discman as well. Mm-hmm. They claimed it was waterproof.
Yeah, is that the one that had the latch that went over?
And the
I
seal.
Had that one.
And I'm like,
that
who was the fuck's going to throw their CD player in the pool, really?
I thought it was so cool because like the play and stop and all that, it was that little like joystick up on the top.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing it, and it was at Walgreens. Walgreens had all the best Discman. Of course, I needed to have one that was freaking fancy. And I had kind of just a shitty hand-me-down one that I gotten, and I think one for my neighbor as well. But once I could prove that I was going to take care of it, I got the fancy one with the latch and all that. And it was, white and yellow or white and orange or something like that.
Once you showed your parents you were responsible, you upgraded.
I upgraded, and dude, that was the coolest thing ever. And I remember it was heavy too. And thinking about it now, I'm like, why would I want? I thought it was awesome. I'm like, it's heavy duty.
Mm-hmm.
I was living large, man. I was like the kid that had the big wheel.
I just saw something on the internet where there's adults that are running big wheels in like some park in some city. It's like the in thing to do now.
Except the big wheels nowadays, the adult big wheels. They have actual, like, not fancy, but some nice tires on them and an e-brake and stuff, and you're supposed to drift them. That's what the adults do with them. They drift their little...
Why don't we get some?
I'd do it. I'm in, man. To get some drift trikes, let's do it. I'm all
drift
for it.
Drift trikes, recording an episode as we're using our plastic e-brake, talking about kill them all. That's one hell of a day.
Some of them, they have, like, rolly, like... what looks like casters almost that spin
like 360
and then the back. My kids have one actually, and it totally does like it drifts around and you can do crazy 360s and stuff. It's hilarious.
Why have I not known this and been to your house in the last 6 months to witness this?
Well, they got it last year. No, we'd have to get a bigger one. I actually haven't ridden it. I've watched the kids. Amanda can ride it, but I wouldn't put myself on there.
I'm going to try it out when I come to your house the night that 72 Seasons is released. I'm going to lose 50 pounds.
It might still be cold here.
That's fine. I'm going to lose 50 pounds in 3 months and shrink by a foot so I can ride that son of a bitch. I don't know what's better, this purified water, a lifesaver, crack cocaine tablet, or the Theragun. I am in heaven right now, dude. By the way, I'm in Memphis.
In the undisclosed bunker?
I am in the city that has been taken over by the media because Lisa Marie Presley died yesterday, and now everyone thinks that the hot story is in Memphis, Tennessee.
I didn't even hear that she had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad. I saw that Robbie Knievel passed away. That's sad.
I thought you were going to say you're all wrapped up on the legendary Mr. Jeff Beck.
Jeff Beck passed away. I'm still wrapped up on Ken Block passing.
That's right. We haven't even talked about that.
It still has me just completely. That's like up there with like Paul Walker. Mm-hmm. And I know it's just because I'm biased and I'm a car guy, but it's like, it's crazy. What's even weirder or more ironic, should I say, is that he didn't die doing the crazy ass shit he did in a car. He was snowmobiling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh man, it's so sad.
As soon as I heard that Ken died, I'm like, oh, that has to be a horrific car crash. Nope, out on the sleds.
Yeah, it's because he was so good at driving. Dude barely ever crashed.
You know what's funny? I've been a huge Jeff Beck fan since I've been a kid. Mm-hmm. I've never owned 1 ounce of music from him. I know it all well, but I was never like, check this out. I got Jeff Beck tape, Jeff Beck CD, a download of his greatest hits. I know all the shit, but I don't own a single source of Beck material.
I'll be 100% honest. Well aware of who he is. Heard plenty of his music and seen plenty of videos of him playing. Straight up, I couldn't name one Jeff Beck song right now.
What?
Not even one.
You gotta
never listen to his stuff. Like,
I highly recommend you downloading his cover of Little Wing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I am well aware of who he is, and I'm sure I've heard his music, and I've seen videos of him, but I really don't know any of his material. I think it's incredibly sad that he passed away. He was a little older, 78.
He had bacterial meningitis.
Bacteria.
That's rough. Not good. And he played a white Strat. Not a fan of that, but I am a fan
I'm
of
all
Mr.
for
Beck.
That.
I know
I'm
you are.
I'm all for the white Strat. Love his Strat. It's
I kind
awesome.
Of gave him a pass because his headstock was upside down, so it didn't look like a true piece of shit Fender.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Fender is the innovator, my friend.
Oh, before we get started, 11 minutes in, season 11, episode 3, I met someone today, check this out, that doesn't like popcorn.
I love popcorn. My kids were trying to bring me popcorn before the episode started.
Who doesn't like popcorn in this world? It just baffles me. I don't get it.
It's left me speechless.
I mean, think about that. Think about everywhere where you can get popcorn in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that has a tub or a bag of popcorn is usually in a pretty good fucking mood.
This is true. It's true.
Think about it. At home.
At the movies.
At a bar.
Carnivals.
Yeah, a festival, a carnival, a state fair.
College.
Carnival.
And the older boy, bless his soul, is preparing for his career.
College?
Carnival.
You gotta be proud.
Oh, yeah.
Who was in a bad mood when they got their hand deep in a fucking tub of popcorn? I don't get it.
I guess if you reach into the popcorn and there's a wiener in there, that might ruin your mood.
Quick free speech for the dumb one with this week.
Yeah, there was...
The Detroit Tigers are so bad that they are moving their outfield walls in 13 feet so they can hit more home runs at Comerica Park in Detroit. Give me a fucking break.
One of the funniest things I saw all week. Couldn't believe it.
Give me a fucking break.
It reminded me of exactly what's happening in the world nowadays. Like, all right, well, they suck, so we're going to make it seem like they suck a little bit less.
Dude.
You know, it's like, we want to make them feel good, too. You know, they may not win the World Series, but we're going to give them a participation award.
That's what it is. This is Major League Baseball.
It's the fucking pros. It's the who's who. It's the show. Like, what are you doing?
So let's move it in 13 feet to get more home runs, and you're still not going to win. You're going to remodel the stadium to think that there's going to be more bombs hit in Detroit. Okay, maybe a few more, but seriously, is it worth the renovation?
How big is that stadium? It can't be...
It's just a regular, normal park.
Yeah, it can't be outlandishly big to the point where...
Some major league parks have center field fences that are 404. Some have 420. I think some have 425. I mean, they're all within 20, 30 feet. That's what makes a ballpark unique. They all have different right. dimensions.
Yeah. Oh,
but you didn't have enough home runs last year, so you're going to remodel Comerica. Yeah, okay.
Well, while
yeah,
you're at
okay.
it, why,
yeah, okay.
Why don't you just bring it in 100 feet? There you go.
Yeah, bring it in 100 feet, and I'll be fucking hitting 50 bombs a year.
Right.
At my local softball field. That softball fence is 220. Yeah, bring that into about 150. I'll hit 50 a season. No problem.
It's like, my kid can do that, and I don't even have a kid.
My 3-year-old son could do that, and I don't even have a son.
Look at this shit. The Detroit Tigers turned into a circus act, eh?
Oh, swear. I swear. Good free speech for the dumb. That's definitely up there for sure.
Quick question. Not much Metallica news, but the thing that should not be poster and a For Whom the Bell Tolls t-shirt. Your thoughts?
I like the Thing poster. Didn't they already do a thing that should... Well, I know they do a lot of them, but it feels mm-hmm. like they recently did one.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you can't make a double of, you know, the song name, but I feel like it was too soon to name another one the thing that should not be. But cool design. Cool design. I didn't think that it was pushing the boundaries of trying too hard. Like sometimes some of the designs, it seems like it's trying a little too much to be dark or whatever. But
skulls, bones, death.
Right. But no, I didn't mind it. The For Whom the Bell Tolls, that was that the M with the...
Mm-hmm.
And the Grim Reaper or something like that. It had like
a Grim Reaper chick, and then there's a little bell hanging down.
And wasn't the M kind of like a blade?
Kind of.
Like curved off at the bottom, kind of like the Grim
Reaper
blade.
Now you got me
wondering.
Now I have to pick it up.
If it's what I'm thinking of, I actually didn't mind it because I thought it was kind of cool how the M was looking kind of like a blade.
Stand by.
Or a Psy.
I'm on my Naked Lady machine looking it up right now.
Whatever they call them.
Don't you hate it when you're on the air and you're just chewing up time looking for stupid shit?
No, not at all, because people realize, hey.
Met Store. New and featured. Let's click there. Oh, here it is.
They're real mofos up in here.
Mm-hmm.
They have to look for shit, too, because we don't have someone on the God mic to do it for us.
Yeah, Bill.
Get them over here. We need...
It is kind of a blade. You're right.
Yeah, I actually liked it. Yeah, it was because of that. That's what made me end up liking it. At first, I was like, oh, it's kind of cheesy. But then looking closer at it, I was like, that's actually kind of cool.
I guess I didn't notice the blade. I got to zoom in here.
The blade kind of ties it together.
It looks like a chick.
Okay, yeah, but it's definitely some evil death.
Do you know that in the... The shirt's okay. The poster I didn't care for. Moving along. Did you know that if you're a pimp and your girls are out working, it's called being on the blade? Were you aware of that?
No, I didn't realize that's what they call it.
There's this 19-year-old white kid in L.A. His name is Kelty. Have you heard of him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen his videos. His shorts pop up every once in a while, the YouTube shorts.
He has two girls working for him. He's obviously their pimp. And he's talking about working them on the blade. He claims he's homeless in L.A. with these two girls.
Yeah, but that's not a credible source for pimp and
no
vocabulary.
The No Jumper podcast, you familiar with those two guys?
Yeah.
They had him on and totally destroyed him, saying he was ruining the game.
Ruining the game, like, nah, see, he down on the wrong corner, you know what I'm saying?
Not the corner, the blade.
Yeah, you down on the blade.
Mm-hmm. Check that out. YouTube or Google, Kelpy, 19-year-old homeless pimp, and then YouTube, his hour-long...
Pimp smacking them hoes.
...interview on the No Jumper podcast where they absolutely destroy him. It is... I can't even describe how good it is. It's amazing. It's amazing. All right, on with the show. What are you talking about tonight? Season 11, Episode 3. This is your idea.
They're all my ideas. No,
they have
I'm just
been.
Kidding.
I've been so
no.
fucking busy. You just run the fucking script and I just sign on and go, hey.
This isn't my show, man. This is our show. And our show is the fans' show, so it's their show too. Since we don't have anybody to drive the show for us, I guess then we'll just drive it ourselves. Since I teach people how to drive, I should probably know how to drive.
I would say so.
I'd say so.
By the way, well, we were in the top 10% of the
percentile
Buzzsprout podcast that we use as a host for 2022.
And you know what? The golf clap goes to not us, the people that have been downloading, listening. Berlin, our most popular city. I mean,
yeah, what's up with that? Berlin, golf clap. Germany. Berlin, Germany, the most downloaded city of APFA 2022.
Berlin, if there's anybody there that wants to host an official and podcast for all live event,
St. Germany at that green church.
Yeah, we want to go. We want to go. I want to go to Germany real bad. I love Europe.
I didn't share this with you. Top five episodes of 2022.
Phil Toll, All on Friend, mm-hmm. Stranger Things, and Chop House. Damn.
Right?
Those are some good ones. The Stranger Things one made it into the top five. Wow.
Guitars, and Stranger Things. That was our whole guitar rundown.
Yeah.
Loved it.
That's crazy.
And the Chop House. 22 is a good year.
It was a very good year. 23 is going to be a better one, hopefully.
It is. I just
fingers crossed, right?
Berlin, Germany takes the pride. No one from the United States listens to us, but Berlin, Germany does. I'm digging that.
Well, not no one from the United States.
Well,
but
there's thousands that listen from the U.S., but when a foreign city, country gets the top rank of a white boy podcast like you and I babbling on, wow.
Podcast. I guess we're doing something right. We have 72 seasons coming out here in a few months. It only seems right. You know when a new movie comes out? Too Far Gone. You know when a new movie comes out, a new show comes out, or whatever, you know. Oftentimes there'll be reruns or they'll like do the kind of countdown to, you know, they play all the movies or whatever. I thought maybe let's go through their discography. Just kind of take it one by one. We'll start with Kill 'Em All Tonight and just kind of talk about it. Basically, just give our own quick synopsis, our own review of each album.
Okay.
You know, and just kind of review where they were to where they're leading to. See if anyone else either agrees or disagrees with us. Hopefully, it's a little bit of both.
A laid-back chat about Metallica's debut record out on Megaforce Records.
Megaforce Records, Kill 'Em All, 10 songs.
12.
Well, yeah.
There are no fucking 10 on Kill 'Em All. It's 12 in my
yeah,
mind.
Yeah. No, I know. We've been over this. I agree.
Am I Evil and Blitzkrieg are Kill 'Em All songs in my discography.
Well, since we're doing your discography, even though they're the quote-unquote last two, let's actually start with those two. That'd be an interesting way to start it off. Am I Evil? Blitzkrieg.
Blitzkrieg is one of my most favorite covers. We've talked about that many times.
Mm-hmm. And
Let Us Have Peas, Let Us Have Rice.
Again, one of those songs that when you hear it, Metallica's version, it's one of those covers that you feel like that's the original artist. You feel like Metallica is the one that wrote Blitzkrieg.
All Metallica covers are like, that's Metallica. That's not Blitzkrieg. That's not Diamond Head. That's not Bob Seger. That's not Budge. That is Metallica. You know what I mean.
They do put a very strong blend of their sound on covers, and rightfully so.
The funny thing about Blitzkrieg, it's written and performed by a band named Blitzkrieg.
Right.
Who would have ever thought Metallica have a Metallica song?
I always wondered that. It'd be kind of funny if they wrote a song called the very last song they write should be called Metallica.
Metallica. Too Far Gone?
Too Far Gone.
Ever since we talked to Sam about that with the question mark in a title, yeah. I am I hope that song is kind of silly, because from now on, that's the way I will say that song the rest of my life.
Hopefully,
Too Far Gone.
Hopefully, he says too far gone, like he says the 45 line,
like a 45.
Yeah, too far gone.
You must burn.
Nah, burn. Nah.
Those are the two songs I'm looking forward to the most, not going to lie, just because of the punctuation.
Oh, my gosh. You're so fixated on punctuation.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
Blitzkrieg is one of their top five covers, easily. And when they played it at the Zazula show, I went fucking apeshit about it, because I'm like, this probably won't happen again, and it's one of my favorites. Thank God.
Did you shed a Trapped Under Ice tear?
Trapped was a lot more exciting at the 40th, considering how much I've been chasing that song live for 25 years.
Right, right.
But I've also been chasing Blitz, and I'm like, oh my God. Second from the end of the set, here it is. Amazing.
It's a good slot, too.
Am I Evil?
Full version or live version? If you had to choose to listen to, what would you rather listen to?
You know what I've never told you about Evil? To answer your question, full version live. Like they've done the last two at the Zazula and the 40th.
Yeah.
Because I love that. Cha-cha-cha. Love that part.
And what's weird, because of how long we've played just the live shortened version in our band.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I have forgotten, but I have quote unquote forgotten that there is even a full version. I think of that as a 2-minute song.
It's like, oh, this is a nice Last Caress little doodle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I see it as. Anytime I think of that song, I think of it as, all right, this is just a quick 90-second, 2-minute filler, just a transition from
right
one part of the set or one song to the next song.
I've never shared this with you. I've never been a fan of the original intro studio version of that song. Put me to sleep.
It's so drawn out. And
put me to sleep. Put me to sleep.
Let's be real. The big four, that even though it was cool that they all came out, there was something that I didn't really.
You mean when they had like six snare drums?
Yeah, it just seemed so
choppy.
Just too much. Too much, and like you said, it puts you to sleep. Like I want to see them all come out and do something, but and it makes sense why they did it. It's got the big drum intro, and it's not Metallica song, so God forbid any of them come up there and play Metallica's music. That would never happen. But
please,
so it made sense to
Diamond
do
Diamond Head.
Yeah, it made sense to do a cover, but I don't know.
They used to play that intro. And then anytime I'll see another tribute band play that entire intro, I'm like, that's 1 minute and 5 seconds that I'll never get back in my life. Never like that intro.
Yeah, that's why we don't do it.
I just like how it goes into the little Kirk doodle.
Yeah.
Best line of that song, my mother was a witch.
That's pretty mean, man. What did moms ever
do? She was burned alive, Jeff. So harsh.
Yeah, so harsh.
God.
Well, see, we definitely know that that's a cover because James Winter wrote that about his dear old mom.
No, that's Mr. Brian Tatler, I believe. I'm going to steal your thunder right now.
Okay.
And Voting for All.
Oh.
Season 11, Episode 3. If you had to pick one song to stay in the discography, Evil or Blitzkrieg?
I thought you have to choose which one to keep or to wait. Say it again. Sorry.
Evil and Blitz. You get to keep one, and the other one just vanishes and goes out into the far, far outer space universe, never to be seen again.
Blitz. I'm keeping Blitz.
I think you know I'm going to swing that way this week.
It makes me wonder how many people are going to swing on the Blitz side, though, because there are
a lot.
a lot of people love that song.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. I get it. It's kind of a catchy metal tune almost, you know what I mean? But fuck, Blitzkrieg is a great song.
The riffs, the vocals. That's a highly underrated Kirk solo in Blitzkrieg.
Yep.
There's a lot going on there, and I love it. It's smooth.
It's really funny that you picked that, because I was definitely going to do Kill 'Em All related and Voting for All, and it was either going to be between those two songs.
What?
Or I was going to, yeah, it was going to be between, but it wasn't going to be which one would you keep. It was just going to be which one do you like better, but it was going to be between those two. Or Hit the Lights and Metal Militia. I was either going to go First and Last or the two covers. So it's funny that you picked that. That's awesome.
It's the year 2023. Everyone's getting canceled. So what song is going to be canceled and sent off into the universe we'll never see again?
By Metallica?
No, just Evil or Blitz.
Oh.
I don't like canceled. Favorites anymore. I like you can only pick one for the rest of your life, dude.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
Let us have Let us have rice.
I like rice and peas.
There's been a couple times that Chris has sang those lyrics when we play Blitz and nobody picks up on it. Let us have peas. Let us have rice.
Oh, he definitely does. Yeah.
Let us escape this gruel fucking night.
All right.
We
so
survive the podcast.
Let's rewind it now or flip the tape back over.
Mm-hmm.
Side A. Track one, Hit the Lights.
Do you remember, did you ever have an Appetite for Destruction cassette?
I'm sure there was one floating around my house, yeah.
I thought it was so cool. One side was G and the other side was R. Now that's creativity in 1987.
Metallica didn't want to do M&A. They didn't want it to be Ma.
You got that Ma side?
You got that Ma side? Ooh, that's a little too personal, sorry.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're back to the beginning of the cassette.
Hit the Lights obviously has big drum intro. You know, you got to imagine 1983. There's plenty of up-and-coming heavy music. You have Priest, Maiden, Sabbath, Saxon, you know, and a lot of bands, Wasp. But then you hear this, you know what I mean? There was definitely something different, and Hit the Lights is a very interesting type of song, because if you think about it, the riff itself, when it kicks in, mm-hmm. it's not really a, it's not a heavy riff, if you will. But just because of the aggression and the
that sounded
the
like
power,
a carnival.
It did sound like a carnival. It totally did. Step right up. College,
the carnival riff.
Carnival.
That's the carnival riff.
Yeah, Hit the Lights is now carnival. Yep. We need to insert carnival theme music and go.
Have you ever noticed that when that, what I call a hang intro starts in Hit the Lights?
Yeah.
About 4 or 5 seconds into it, someone takes the fucking fader and goes way up with it. There isn't this graph. I don't remember what second mark it's at, but someone gets really aggressive with the fader, and they never fucking edited that.
They just wanted to keep it loud and in your face and that's aggressive. What it was. That's what.
Like it's a gradual advance, but then all of a sudden someone's like, whoop, and it's like, okay, we've arrived.
It's an interesting kind of weird metal song, because like I said, it's not like this heavy riff, but it's kind of, it is at the same time. You know, it's in A, so it's not, it's a little bit higher up. It's, I love the song, but it was always an interesting opener to me.
The lyrics have always been cheesy, but absolutely legendary.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna kick some ass tonight. That's an 18-year-old in high school. Lyric written in a little spiral notebook.
Yeah, for sure.
Remember spiral notebooks?
Composition notebook.
In eighth grade, I got suspended for 2 days.
2 whole days. What'd you do?
I took the entire spiral wire out of a notebook.
Out of your notebook. And you got suspended for that?
and I tied it between two desk legs in the classroom. And I knew the exact aisle that the teacher would come down every morning as class would begun, what, however you say that hard word. And it was about at ankle height, and she tripped on it, and it went right according to plan. And then...
That's terrible.
It is terrible, but that's the kind of, like, Dennis the Menace I was back in those days.
That's right. I've gotten in trouble, but we'll save that for a different episode.
She fell flat on her face. As she was going down, I'm like, uh-oh, I'm in big shit.
Before she even hit the ground, it's like slow motion. Shane was already packing up his shit and heading like, out to ISS.
All right, I'll be heading home now.
That was like the SpongeBob meme where he's getting off the chair and it says, I'm going to head out.
It didn't go over well. She was not a happy camper. And immediately, three of my classmates fucking told her that it was me.
I would have been like, you snitch-ass motherfuckers.
Oh, it was terrible. She wasn't even on both feet again, and everyone's like, Shane did it. I'm like, you fuckers.
You should have just beat their ass for snitching right then and there.
Snitches get stitches.
That's what I'm saying.
This is eighth grade. This ain't prison.
You should have said, it's hard out in them streets. You better watch your backs, cuz.
So some pretty big trouble for that.
Yeah.
And... I vividly remember this. Do you know what my mom said after her and my dad basically beat my ass for 30 minutes about this?
Mm-hmm.
She was pissed off that I ruined an entire notebook that I wasn't going to use for school.
Yeah, that sounds about right, because that should cost money.
Doesn't that sound like a parent?
Yeah, I'm a parent and I have kids, and if they just ruin perfectly good money like
that,
I've been like, really? Now I'm going to tie your ass up with it.
This is back when spiral notebooks were about 89 cents.
Now they're about 99 cents.
No. Oh, okay. Nothing's changed. I should add a Trapper Keeper.
Those are expensive now because they're retro. They're throwbacks. So of course now they're like $50 for a Trapper Keeper.
Just like the original Nintendos now are like a couple hundred dollars online. It's like, what?
Nintendo.
All I want to play is some Narc, some Jaws, and some Friday the 13th.
Oh, my God. I'll continue playing my modern video games.
It is Friday the 13th.
It is Friday the 13th as we record this.
I just realized that.
Wow. Did you remember to leave Jason some cookies and blood last night?
Jason Newstead?
Jason Voorhees Newstead.
I did not. Am I in trouble?
Yeah, he's going to chop your head off now. All right. The Four Horsemen, arguably the best track on this record.
Moving along. We're only to the horse. Good thing we're not listening to this in the background, because none of these songs would jive when we're talking about spiral notebooks tripping your teacher up.
Yeah, see, that's why it's good that we just do a little play-by-play here.
I think this whole season about our discography should go this way.
Yeah, it's like the Cliff Notes. There we go.
Love it.
That's the name of this whole entire theme. It's Metallica album Cliff Notes.
Cliff 'em all notes.
Oh, dude.
Four Horse, best song on the record, my opinion.
Yeah, between the Skinnerd riff, the stolen Dave Mustaine music. I mean, yeah, it's...
Would you like me to sing you the intro?
Down, 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 down. Oh.
That's the jazz version.
That's still the slow version, because if you listen to Mechanics, it's like...
I do like the Mechanics. Yes.
It's almost too fast, though.
Live setting. Full version or the usual Binge and Purge live shit, what I call the 16 cymbal count choke version?
I'll take the... If it's live, I'll take the live version. Because
okay. No bridge. No Skinnerd.
I like the solo, but that song is one of those songs that I love hearing it. It's not what I would consider something like, it's not a rarity. So it's like, all right, we can listen to it and move on to another potentially, you know, banger of a song, whatever it may be. But I don't think it's necessary to have the interlude in there. Now, when we played it live, I sure enjoyed having the interlude there. Because, like I said, that solo is fun to play. It's got a little bit of feeling to it. It's a little bit of groove.
Clean.
I liked it, but either way, it's a pretty 50-50 for me. I can take it or leave it. As far as listening to the song, I definitely enjoy having the interlude.
How many people are listening to this right now going, what do you mean the Skinner Bridge?
I feel like that video of Dave saying that went around for a couple days when it came out.
Well, we've got a lot of new listeners of the podcast right now. They're actually going to put on that and listen to the interlude and go, God damn, that is fucking Skinner. My favorite song, and it's also one of my favorite solos on that whole record, is the ending solo.
It's a great solo.
It rips. And you said it's easy to play, and it sounds busy as fuck.
It is easy to play. A lot of stuff from this record is actually quite easy to play.
Well, yeah, when you're a prodigy genius like Jeff Winslow with his fretboard, everything's easy. When I look at it, I'm like, yeah, okay.
Not even close. I wish I was... thought at one time maybe I could have been. Maybe I was, and I just didn't try hard enough. But
Prodigy. Remember that band?
Prodigy, yeah, I do.
Never liked them.
To them very much. All right, number three, Motor Breath.
Short song.
It's a short song.
I've always been...
This is the punk side of them coming out. This is like, you can hear the Misfits, Sex Pistols, you know,
yeah,
punk influence in this song. It has that rebellious type of lyric. It's got the, you know, the verse is very kind of late
70s. How I live my life, I can't take it any other way.
Underground punk.
I've always thought it was kind of a chopped up song. Parts of that song don't flow well, hence the kick drum in between the verses.
It's not my least favorite song off that record, but it's definitely not my favorite.
I second that. Drum intro, classic. Lars Ulrich on the drums. Lars Ulrich still on the drums. Great live intro for Motor Breath.
Absolutely.
Lars Ulrich on the drum. Lars Ulrich still on the drums.
And I love when they played it in the 90s and James did the little harmony. Down, down, down. Oh, yeah.
That's right. like Cunning Stunts version.
Yeah. Yep.
That's right.
Jump in the
Track
fire.
Four, Run to the Hills.
Run to the Hills. Again, okay, so Jump in the Fire is like Hit the Lights to me. One of those songs that it's definitely a classic metal tune. It's iconic for any old classic, you know, headbanging metal, but not a heavy sounding riff, not a heavy sounding song, but still fits in with that kind of classic thrashy vibe.
The intro riff, not heavy, but the dun 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 dun. I love that riff.
I know some people will put this sometimes at more towards the bottom of their favorites on Kill 'Em All, but I love the riff. I love the riffing. I love the rhythm work in the song. When it comes to songs on Kill 'Em All, this is my go-to song as far as if I'm going to play a, well, if I'm going to play a song, like for whenever we would do sound check or if I pick up a guitar, if I decide to play, if my brain decides, all right, I'm going to play a song off of Kill 'Em All, that's the first song I usually go to is that. Dun, 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 dun. I don't know what it is about that riff, but I love playing that riff and I love the main. It's got good riffage. It really does.
I agree. The beginning riff always reminds me of like a guitar player's warm-up exercise.
Yeah, it's like a running a scale up and down.
That's what I'm always like, it sounds like some practice exercise that became a riff somehow.
And you know what's funny, speaking of that, leading into song number five, that's, to me, Anastasia Pulling Teeth reminds me of exactly that.
Anastasia?
I said Stasia.
You said Anastasia.
I said Anastasia Pulling Teeth.
Oh, I thought you said Anastasia, like the chick from 50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Grey. I've never seen that movie or read the book.
I've seen and read both.
I've heard they're good.
The more you know.
I have heard they're good, but it's not on my top read list. Anyways, Pulling Teeth. To me, that sounds exactly like what you were saying. That sounds like what was potentially a warm-up that Cliff Burton would do, and then all of a sudden it was like, let's just connect these you know melodic scales together to create what was Pulling Teeth. Kind of like Eruption was for Eddie, which it was like, you know, just kind of some warm-up shit that he would do that turned into this little doodle, essentially.
The first minute of Pulling Teeth is like a doodle.
Exactly, and it sounds like it could be just like a warm-up, you know, a little warm-up exercise, you know, a little doodle warm-up exercise that he's running, and it's amazing. That's what makes it so great, and there was nothing like that. I mean, how many bands, not only on their debut record, but are on any record going to put a bass solo? You know, obviously guitar solos were a thing. You had people like Joe Satriani and you know, Yngwie Malmsteen doing these, you know, guitar-driven solo. You know, there's no singing. It's just instrumental guitar.
Right.
And then in comes Metallica on their debut record, and we're going to do an instrumental bass and then bass and drums. Ballsy as fuck. I love it.
And it's going to be track 5, not 10.
Yep. I love it. Absolutely love it. And that song doesn't belong anywhere else other than track 5. It would look so weird if you looked at the track listing and it wasn't smack dab in the middle.
Like, swap that with No Remorse. Swap 8 and 5. That doesn't work for you?
No, not at all. I would never touch Kill 'Em All. Kill 'Em All is actually one of the few records that I feel like I would never touch the order in which the songs go in.
Okay.
Even though, yeah, no, I would never touch. I think it's set up perfect.
Wow, 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 wow. That's how that part goes. That's the doo-doo solo.
That's the doo-doo.
Everyone's like, Shane, you have a fucked up mind of how you remember songs and riffs.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
That's how I hear things.
But do you think of Whiplash as Dick Rash?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime I hear Whiplash, I'm always like, 4-3-2.5, Dick Rash.
That's that song that's like, all right, you can headbang to Jump in the Fire, but Whiplash, you know, this is a song that's like, fuck, you know, you got Rain and Blood that's, you know, around this era, or Hell Awaits, I think is what it was, but you have, you know, Megadeth is putting out their record shortly after, and you've got some pretty heavy stuff. Whiplash is that song that can really like keep up and show that these guys aren't just some basement players. Like, all right, we can write some pretty aggressive shit.
Honest, lifesavers are coming back up. Honest. Opinion. Never been the biggest Whiplash fan. There's parts that I enjoy. When Metallica plays it live, I'm always like, okay.
There was a version I always loved of Pantera doing it with Jason Newsted.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and that's an amazing take of that song.
And ever since I was young and I heard that, I always loved that song. Because I thought of that version where Phil sings the first verse and then Jason comes in and sings the second verse. Like,
that's a badass take of that song.
That's a great cover.
I don't know. It's another kind of chopped up song that.
Is it?
I know it's Kill. Go ahead.
I was just saying, is it with these chopped up songs? Is it giving you the old Judas Kiss vibes, where you feel like it was just random parts of a song, or
no,
just thrown together?
Judas Kiss. Whiplash and Motor Breath kill Judas Kiss any day, anywhere, any place, any planet.
That's what he says now, but let it be known, folks, Whiplash has now just been bitten by the Judas Kiss.
Whiplash is kind of like Motor Breath. I know we're talking about Kill 'Em All Thrash, but there's not a bounce or a groove in those songs. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Like, Four Horse and Remorse and Seek blow those fucking motors and Whiplashes out of the water.
But how about
like another level?
But what about Phantom Lord? Where were we going with
Phantom Lord's in my top five? In that
Phantom's
record.
In your top five on that yes. record. Wow.
Because
what's your top five of that record?
I was gonna tell you because of the singing, to be honest with you, that Phantom is the true young Hetfield like classic.
Yeah, where you can see or kind of hear potentially where it's going.
Drumming's not that great, but that song overall, it's up there.
Yeah,
top five songs I'm on Kill?
Yeah.
And I can't include Blitz?
Yeah, you can.
I would say Horse, Remorse, Phantom, Seek, and Blitz.
It's pretty good.
It's weird how Pulling Teeth is never like a song to me, but it's like a moment.
It's like an interlude. It's like a transition.
It's like a... Yeah.
But it still counts as a song. It's not like Pulling Teeth
is a song at all. It's just like a... It does, but Phantom's still in the top five with like Blitz, Remorse, Seek, and Horse.
I'm sure our good old buddy Pizzle would like to beg to differ that Pulling Teeth is most definitely a song.
I know he
would.
It'd
probably be in his top five favorite.
But that is such a like a live Cliff Burton staple. It's more of like a live performance than... It's funny how I think of it in a live setting and not like the record.
Right.
That's coming from a drummer that doesn't know shit, but that's my two cents.
I hear what you're saying. I get it. It makes sense to me. If it doesn't make sense to the rest of the APFA listeners, well, tough titty.
Here is the gouge on how to play drums in Pulling Teeth. Do-do-da, 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 do-do-da. Do that for another 2 minutes, and there you go.
And lesson is over. You're welcome.
I can't even say it. Kick snare. Try to say that fast.
Kick snare.
You can't. Kick snare.
That's dicey. I don't like that.
I'll stick to my tutuga.
No Remorse. Arguably.
Wait a minute. We're not even going to talk about Phantom Lord.
What do you mean? We just were talking about Phantom Lord.
But we didn't talk about Bow Down to Your Phantom Lord. Did I hit the note?
Oh, man. Now that is Shane Aoki in full effect.
That song is not easy to sing. So when he did do his best at the Zazula show, he got pretty fucking close at the end. I'm like, I give him credit because he went for it.
Here's a question for you. What's harder to sing for James? Maybe not for you, but for James. Phantom or Fixer? Phantom Fixer.
You know what's funny? Until they played Fixer, I didn't realize how high those vocals are.
It's really not that high, though. That's what was kind of weird about
it. But when you think about his style now...
I guess, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
To hit that, and like when you're not used to playing that song, I'm like, some of that was a struggle.
That's why I was surprised, because it's like, there are a few, you know, it's... There's moments, but it's not a ridiculously high song, and it's in E-flat. So I figured he'd be able to sing it, but that song... You could tell it was struggling for him, or he was struggling to find some of those notes. But I suppose when it's a song that you haven't played ever really in your career, and then you've probably played it four or five times leading up to that in practice.
I think Fixer's hard. To answer your question, I bet Fixer's harder because you know how he sings like Lights, Motor, Whip, and Remorse these days.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of actual singing going on with those songs.
So he
where
can
Fixer,
get away with it.
Fixer, he actually has to sing.
Mm-hmm. Achilles, like, oh, I can just scream this in a
I
lower
just go,
key.
Rah, rah, rah.
No life till leather. Gonna kick Jeff Winslow's ass tonight. All right.
Yeah, the Talico boys came to kick some ass tonight. Oh, I felt good to stretch.
Maximum ass.
A maximum ass. All right, now can we move on to No Remorse? Or do you still want to Phantom Lord? That was a little slow. That was like Four Horsemen.
Oh, I love when they played that version during the Kill Ride medley.
Best part of that entire medley.
That's about the tempo.
Yeah, it was a little bit better. And then when you're playing that riff, you gotta remember Cunning Stunts where he tries to bite at the person.
When he's down on the floor over the barricade.
Yeah, and they're all reaching out and he tries to bite at someone.
Anytime you play that song, is that the footage you think of?
Absolutely. Well, during that riff. Him standing there and playing the riff on his V, and then
yep.
tries to bite someone.
It's funny you bring that up. We could almost do an episode where when we're playing live, there's a lot of moments during the show where I picture like DVD footage based on
Me too.
Where we're at in
Me
the song.
Too. Yeah.
I know
whenever
this sounds
whenever we're playing So What in the solo. Ah ha ha ha.
Cunning Stunts.
Yep.
It's funny you bring up Cunning because there's that part in Fade to Black when Jason is eye to eye with that chick on the barricade.
Yep.
I always
yep,
that I part of Fade and we're playing, I always picture that moment. I always picture that chick on the rail there.
Cunning is what I probably relate with the most whenever it's songs from that.
Yeah, there's some footage from one in the beginning with the slow parts that I'm always thinking about in Cunning.
I want to do the Cunning Creep intro one more time. Just the short intro.
Right in the riff.
I loved that when they did that. That was great.
What do you picture when you're playing Puppets?
Well, I guess it depends on what part it is, but usually when it comes to Puppets, the first thing that comes to mind is something along the line of Binge and Purge when it comes to Puppets, just because I always think of how it leads into Puppets.
Like Mexico City?
No, Seattle, when they're doing the...
Okay.
Even if, obviously, we never played the To Live Is To Die doodle, but mm-hmm. even when we play that song, for some reason, that's I picture them sitting on the stairs when I think of Master of Puppets.
Going right
like
into
when
the...
Lars,
dun,
when
dun,
Lars
dun.
Comes running out and...
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
That's what I always picture. Like, that's the first, just that image. If it was a picture of it, that's what I think of mm-hmm. whenever we would start that song live.
For Whom the Bell Tolls.
That's definitely, that's going to be Binge and Purge Seattle too when they
Same
go to
here.
Lars.
Yep.
When they go to Lars and he's trying to get the camera to point at the crowd and they're all.
That is so funny because I always picture Beavis and Butthead going, there's Beavis, see right there, there's Beavis. At that part, I'm always thinking about that episode of Beavis and Butthead.
When they show Lars, he's like, look over there.
Yep, because that's when I'm always standing up doing the thing with the kick drum thing, and I'm always, in my mind, I'm saying to myself, there's Beavis, see right there.
Yep, yep.
Yes, rock.
Sit your ass down, Lars. Play the drums like you're supposed to.
Shut up, Butthead. Check it out, I was at this concert. Coming up here, Lars points to me. See, he said, there's Beavis, see? And there I am, right there, see?
Beavis, you've never been to a concert in your life.
Shut up, Butthead, your mom's a slut.
Beavis, Metallica sucks. You've never made out with a chick either.
Shut up, Butthead, shut up.
Wherever I may roam.
Wherever I may roam, that would probably be surprisingly, but it'd probably be Cunning Stunts, just because...
I always think about the San Diego footage.
Oh, yep, yep.
And that intro snare drum, the pyro. Got, got.
Yeah, and it comes.
All those flash shots. Yep, I'm always picturing San Diego.
I watched
on for days about this.
I just watched so much cunning stunts when I was a kid. It's that makes sense why Load Reload came around full circle as being
that's true
my favorite record. Which to clarify, I think we got a message saying
a lot of mail about that.
Someone had said that I said that Load and Reload were better than the first five. I want to clarify that is actually, from what I recall,
fake news.
I didn't say those words. I said I liked them better, not that they were better albums. So I think that there's a difference.
You said. A lot of people wrote it and gave you credit for admitting you had a problem.
Hey, you know, it's the first step.
Step uno.
I just want to be an inspiration for the people. The tremendous people. They're tremendous people. Fantastic people.
How you doing, people?
People.
I'm going to turn the tables a little bit so you can get off the cunning stunts. What do you picture when you're playing Cyanide or Moth into Flame?
Anything from Death Magnetic, it doesn't matter. But my first thought is just I have an image of Hetfield with the True Sart single cut. That's what I always think of.
Okay.
I just think of the True. I picture, like, that's the first thing I think of when I think of that record is I think of the True Sart and I think of Death Magnetic. As far as Moth, honestly, I don't know. I feel like I never really, I would just think about when we would play it live. I don't know. There was nothing that really I associated with that. Maybe it's because it just wasn't as like an iconic thing for me as like obviously watching like Cunning Stunts or Binge and Purge or Cliff 'Em All because, you know, so young and that was such a
ingrained into your brain.
Ingrained into my brain, yeah, growing up that like it's so hard. But as far as and like even with Magnetic too, because I was obviously in high school when that came out, so there were still a lot of, you know, things that I associated with that. But yeah, Hardwired, I feel like that's I kind of lost it with that, which is kind of a bummer. I'm sure.
What do you mean sure you lost it?
Like I lost like a visual representation to go with the music, if that makes sense.
I got you.
You know what I mean? I will say this, though. When I think of Hardwired, when I hear it, I think of trees in Dallas. I don't think of something Metallica. I think about when we played it and Pizzle and I hadn't learned it yet. And we had like,
that's right. We debuted that in Dallas.
Yeah. And it was like literally like 30 minutes before our intro tape started. And me and Pizzle were in the dressing room learning it before to go out and play it. And for some reason, every time I hear Hardwired, that's what I picture.
The Trees Club in Dallas. Interesting.
That was such a great show. There were so many people there.
It's funny how you picture a club when you hear the intro tape to Hardwired.
Mm-hmm.
That's seriously an interesting conversation.
Yeah, like without a doubt, that is always, that's ingrained in my brain.
Anytime
and that, that one's cool for me because that's our band, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I forgot we even debuted that in Dallas.
Yeah.
Anytime we play anything of Death Magnetic, I just picture us on that square stage in the round with the vulture cabs. Yep. No matter what we're playing, I just picture that as a setting. I don't picture like Quebec Magnetic DVD. I just picture that as like a setting of what it would what it would look like if we were in an arena.
Hey, well, you know what? We've played in front of as many people, if not more, than an arena can hold. We just
that's true.
Didn't make it to the arena per se.
One of these days, I just want to point up to section 212. I want to point upwards.
We
section number on the fucking wall. That's what I want. That's all I'm asking for.
I know. I pointed out and I couldn't see as far out as I pointed, but I want to see up and not.
I can point out, but I want to point up to like fucking
right.
section 212, row J.
I told my uncle that. I was like, that was like, that's like the ultimate bucket list item was. It wasn't even about necessarily playing in front of that many people. It was about just being in the arena, just being able to do that. I'm like, I've played in front of that many people multiple times. And like, it's not about that. It's just about the opportunity or the chance to be able to be in an arena just once. You know what I mean?
Shane and Jeff want to point up, not out.
Yeah, exactly.
We opened up for Three Doors Down in front of 15 to 20,000 in Sturgis, but that was pointing out, not up.
Hey, we headlined that festival.
Why couldn't that have been inside?
We headlined that festival in Bonner Springs, too, and that was like 25,000 people almost.
Why couldn't that be inside?
Inside, exactly. 25,000 people, shit, that's Target Center sold out and then some.
I know. I've always thought about that.
Like, fuck.
It's like when Lars says, you know, they had this small ice arena, but it held 9,000 people, so we fucking showed up and played it. Black Album Tour quote.
Right? Well, hey.
Oh, my God. Someday.
Yeah, can you imagine seeing them in the Mankato Arena?
At the Verizon Wireless, whatever it is now, 9,000-seat minor league hockey team arena.
But it sounds so good in there. It sounds so freaking good in there.
What are we talking about? No Remorse?
Seek and Destroy is next.
Are we done with Remorse?
Yeah, let's move on to Seek and Destroy. That's the people's song.
Seek is such a good song. But it's
Seek is the Enter Sandman of this record.
Overplayed that it's hard to appreciate how good that song is for how young they were, but it's so overplayed.
Is it weird to think that that song is literally almost as popular as a staple like Puppets Sandman or whatever? And look at how far down it is. It's the second to last song.
That should have been like track 3.
I could have seen Seek as track number 2.
It's hard not picturing a horse at 2, but I hear you.
But again, I wouldn't have, like I said, this is one of those records. I wouldn't change a thing on it as far as the placement goes.
Scanning the scene in whatever city we're in tonight. Looking for you! Dude, you think about how young they were when they wrote Seek. Seek is like a fucking stadium staple.
What do you think of when you think of Seek? I know what I think of.
That's a good question. I don't think about that.
I think about every time I hear Seek, I think beach balls.
Yeah, I don't think that. I think about especially the bridge when say hello to Lars, you know, when James does that part when I go into the double time. I always think about that part. For some reason, I'm always picturing like San Diego footage on that as well, like the extended crowd on the barricade, Mexico City sing-along shit.
Sing-along.
Yeah,
yep.
I think about not necessarily the music, but like the visuals. I think of the sing-along and the wireless mic that he brings into the crowd.
Yep,
which we've done many times and it's so fun.
I get that beach ball vibe or the intro to Some Kind of Monster when they go through all the different years of them playing that.
That's a great.
I thought that was such a cool thing.
That was so well done. You go from Cliff Amal footage to like 80,000 people in a rock and ring.
It's funny though, if you listen to it, because obviously the early days they played it in E and then they started playing it in E flat. And then at the very end of Saint Anger era, they're playing it in D. But in the audio, you don't really hear any of the pitch change.
That's true. That's a good point. That intro in SCOM is
it's well very done. Cool, though, how it's put together.
Very well done. But, dude, think how young they were when they wrote Seek. That, to me, was like kind of like when Kiss wrote Rock and Roll Night Party Every Day.
Right.
I mean, that song, for being that young and on a debut record, is an amazing piece of work.
Well, and not only that, but the fact that they were teenagers trying to be punk rock, thrash metal, skateboard, drinking, you know what I mean, hell raising. And they write not
so
only what
well
ends
formatted.
up, But think exactly. Think about it. It's not just the music. The lyrics are cheesy, but the way that it's structured at that time, that chorus is a classic call and response.
Right.
It was made for crowds to sing, and they probably didn't even realize that when they wrote that. That was just, you know, search and
you sing
seek
it.
And destroy. You know what I mean? It's just the way it is. Like, that is like perfect call and response, and it's ingenious, and it's amazing how sometimes some of the greatest works of art in history happen by accident. And I don't want to say they wrote that song by accident, but something tells me that they didn't think of it in that aspect when they wrote that song, going, oh, let's write this song so we can get our crowd to sing along with us. Like, that's not what Metallica was about.
Yeah, our crowd of 70 people in this club.
Right, that's not what their mindset, or at least it seems like from interviews and what they've said, that they weren't about the mainstream trying to get the crowd to sing along. They just wanted to go up there and play heavy music and drink beer. And then they write this song that ends up being this arena staple. It's, man, it's crazy.
One thing that might surprise you, one of my most favorite riffs off of Kill 'Em All does not get played in the live setting anymore.
Yeah.
At the end of the show, there's a part where James goes, name a city.
Dallas.
Dallas, did you have fun tonight? If you did, follow me. Where he says that should be
but they just hold out the open.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's funny you say that, because the last couple shows that we played, I did that during Seek, just because.
That is one of the best riffs on that whole record, because it is slowed down and it has a little bit of sludge to it.
And you know, it's just that, but then kick into that riff. But now they just hold it out and then kick into it.
There's a different version that. They just play on the ands.
Yeah.
That riff is so killer. If you listen to that without all the extra blah, blah, blah banter, did you have fun tonight? If you did, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
I love that riff. It almost has a No Remorse feeling to it.
Well, write in to Metallica@gmail.com.
Let's just text Lars and be like, dude, if you don't bring that back for the 72 tour, we are so out.
I'm going to text Lars and say, Lars, if you don't open up the 72 tour with Metal Militia, I'm so out.
Too far gone?
Too far gone. I'm a 45.
I would be okay switching Metal Militia and Seek and Destroy in the track listing. Seek should close that record out.
Yeah.
Metal Militia is kind of the forgotten song after the fucking huge outro of Seek.
But Metal Militia, it's like My Apocalypse. It's like Spit Out the Bone, Dyer's Eve, Damage Inc.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You can't put all those songs together. It's not fair.
No, I'm talking about the fast, aggressive last song.
I thought you were comparing Apocalypse and Dyer's to Damage, and I'm like, nope, no.
Well, I would never compare Apocalypse to any of the songs I just named.
And I know you're not a Spit Out the Bone fan. One of the very few
but
in the
I
world.
But I'd pick Spit over Apocalypse, probably.
You are a good man. I just know you're not a fan.
Just not a huge fan. I don't hate the song. It's just not, I don't think it's as good as everyone made it out to be, that's all.
That's because it was your overkilled, overplayed, overrated song.
Yeah, I do think it's a little overrated. But anyways, that's not what we're talking about. Metal Militia, I see what you're saying, because yeah, when you have such an epic track that is Seek and Destroy, what comes after? I feel like that's why Cthulhu, even though, again, you can't compare Cthulhu and Metal Militia. You got one musical masterpiece and one that's just a thrash song, but I feel like Cthulhu being the very last song, it gets a little bit... You know, the only reason Damage doesn't get forgotten about after Orion is because Damage Inc. is a very well-written thrash metal song compared to Metal Militia, but when you have, like you're saying, like those big, you know, powerful songs, and then afterwards, you know,
I hear you.
I see what you're saying.
I was just, when you were saying that, I heard everything you said, but I was also thinking it is so hard to compare Damage to Cthulhu as a closer.
It is,
it's
and
like
I almost
two different ballparks.
Like, I wish that Cthulhu was
seven,
yeah.
Creep 8.
Creep could close out that record for sure with the way Creep ends. That'd easily. Be a great ending.
Be right up there with Damage.
I would be very happy with Creep being the last song.
Metallica, do the right thing. Reissue Ride the Lightning with that change, please.
Either that or keep Creep there, and I would redo, and I would put Trapped Under Ice as the last song because it's a little bit more of a fast pace.
Ooh.
It has that fast pace kind of... I don't want to say damaging, but like that kind of metal, you know, I feel like it's a little bit more of like the faster paced speed metal type of song.
Can you picture Dire's Eve anywhere but the closer?
No, because the song doesn't go with the record. I love the song, but at the same time,
that's a big
I don't
statement.
Like,
that's a big statement.
I love the song, but at the same time, I don't, because it's like, I don't get what the point was of playing. It makes me wonder, why did you do this song when you know you were never going to play it live? Lars knew he never wanted to play that shit again after he recorded it. Why the fuck would he do that?
Okay,
Lars was good at double bass, but he wasn't Dave Lombardo. Dave Lombardo would play double bass like that night after night after night. Lars, not that he couldn't do it, but that's just not his style. So he knew he wasn't going to go in and write a song like that and then go and do a 2-year tour where he's going, you know what I mean? So it's like, why? So, why did you do that? What was the point of it?
Big statement. I'm not letting you off the hook. What record does that belong on? I've never heard you say that before.
Well, it doesn't really belong. Well, it belongs on Justice. It does. But I just don't feel that the drums match the rest of the record. There's
whoa.
Believe it or not, I feel like there's too much double bass. Like, I feel like it would have been better if he would have done like a boota 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 rather than. Again, if Dave Lombardo was in that band, then completely acceptable because you know it's going to happen. It's going to get played. That's his style. But that's not Lars' style.
What?
Lars is a fancy Phil Rudd, and we all know it.
What?
He's a fancy Phil.
You know the Justice record is the fucking drumming record. So how can that song not be a Justice song?
Because every other song he was capable of playing live well. I don't think that was a song that, not that he would.
I disagree.
Okay, at that time period, yes. But it wasn't, I don't think, again, not a song that was going to be in the set list every single night. I wouldn't have seen him playing that and then going right in to Freight Ends of Sanity right after, or Damage Inc. right after.
I like
to me,
it was over. What you had to say there.
It was just overkill for what they were doing. Again, not obviously he had to do it. There wasn't freaking MIDI drums where he could program it. He obviously played it.
Right.
He obviously was capable of doing it. I just didn't think it was a realistic thing to do at that time. If he knew he wasn't going to play that song night after night. They knew that.
You know what's funny is I always thought that that song would be played on that tour.
If you listen to the rest of what they do, it makes sense why that song didn't get played, and it doesn't surprise me.
But, dude, when you can thrash Disposable and Damage night after night on that tour, why can't you play Dire's when you're young and capable?
Because Dire's, drum-wise, is probably just a little bit more tiring for someone.
I disagree.
I think it's more tiring for someone like him who is not... Again, I'll probably catch hate for this, but he's not a double bass player in the sense of like how, and again, I use Dave Lombardo because he's the same time period.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Lombardo can do it, and it's just like, it's nothing. Because again, that's his style. Not that Lars couldn't do it, but his style wasn't, he's not an endurance double bass player like that. He never, and that song is very much an endurance double bass. So for him, I feel like that's much harder. there's plenty of drummers out there that will say, oh, sitting down and playing fucking blast beats
right.
is way easier than doing a 4-4 in the pocket Phil Rudd. You know what I mean? Or even just whatever it may be. Sometimes, you know, less is more complicated. Again, it wasn't his style. So I don't feel that that was necessarily a smart move because people asked to hear that song for decades. And then when they finally played it, it didn't sound bad by any means, but it wasn't what everybody was expecting it to be.
2004, Saint Anger Tour.
Kind of like Fixer, a song that they just waited too long to play, in my opinion.
This might shock people. In my opinion, Damage and Disposable is harder to play than Dyer's Eve.
Well, Disposable's longer.
That's why it's harder. There's more endurance going on. At 6-7 minutes playing that song, I start to gas out.
See, and I disagree. I think it's easier.
Dyer's has more.
Dyer's is definitely easier on guitar. I'll say that.
Dyer's has
way
more,
harder on guitar.
Dyer's has more breather moments than Disposable and Damage.
The verses of Disposal are easy. Boom, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. No, that's not how it goes. But
that's the chorus. The verse, bodies feel the field. That's pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah, but when it goes into.
But it is long. It is long, and it's like 9 minutes
long. There's more breather moments when James is singing the verse. That's easy. Telling you.
No, I hear what you're saying. Metal Militia, good closer, but overshadowed by Seek and Destroy.
It is.
I think that's the consensus here.
And Metal Live is a Militia Live is a great song. They play that so well.
Absolutely.
I just wish you could hear the boots at the end as like a tape or a sample. Cluck, cluck, cluck.
That'd be cool
cluck,
if they did that.
Cluck, cluck. Cluck, like they walk off stage to that.
That would actually be cool if they use that as an intro tape to start that song.
It'd be great. If there was boots anywhere around that song, it'd be really cool aspect of that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Top five songs on Kill Em All, Jeff Winslow, and Go.
Four Horsemen, Jump in the Fire, wow. Whiplash, No Remorse, and... probably Seek and Destroy.
Okay. Jump in the Fire. You weren't lying.
I love Jump in the Fire. Actually, I'd probably take Seek out and put Motor in. I think Seek's a better song, but whoa, I found myself listening to Motor more when I was younger.
Again, Motor over Seek?
Especially now. I'd much rather listen to Motor over Seek now.
Just because of the overkill, overrated?
Yeah. Just how overplayed it is, yeah.
Overplayed, sorry.
Yeah, that's all. I don't think it's a better song, but I just enjoy listening to Motorhead more.
Remember when we did our album cover, favorite artwork?
Yeah.
And I told you that Kill 'Em All looked like this.
Yeah.
It looks like a lady holding her chin up with her hand.
Yeah. Do you still see that?
Oh, every time. I don't see blood on the floor with the sledgehammer anymore. Sorry.
I still see the blood.
I see the female holding her chin up.
I see that too, but I still see the blood.
Okay. What a discussion. Kill 'Em All, Cliff 'Em notes.
Yeah, Cliff 'Em All notes.
Cliff 'Em notes for Kill 'Em All as we lead up to 72/18 years of a season.
One of these days we'll do Ride the Lightning and... so on and so forth. You guys will.
I like your thinking.
Get all of our stupid opinions.
I like your thinking. Yes or no? You like to hear how I sing the riffs?
Me or the app for listeners?
You like when I go bum 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 bum? Are you like, dude, shut the fuck up?
No, because I think it brings humor and it's something that I think now is something you're known for. So I say continue doing it.
It's not Shane Aoki. Shane riffing.
Shane O'Riffing.
I told you that end riff in Seek and Destroy is my favorite riff. You have to pick one riff from the entire record. What do you got?
Well, that you already know what my favorite riff is going to be. What did I say? The first riff I go to when I play from that record, Jump in the Fire. That's my favorite
totally
riff.
Totally frozen.
You're not frozen.
Oh, I missed everything you said, so say it again.
Well, in case it didn't record, it would be the riff that, like I said, whenever I play anything from that record, the first thing I play is Jump in the Fire. So that would be my favorite riff.
The intro riff to Jump is your favorite riff on the record?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we refer to as the warm-up exercise.
Yeah, I love that riff. I don't know what it is about it. I just love that riff. Is it the best riff? Probably not, but that's the one I enjoy the most.
Of all riffs on that thrash record, you're going with...
I love it.
That is like Fisher-Price Fender Strat warm-up shit.
Dude, Fisher-Price, dude, they made a lot of money.
I had a Fisher-Price pool table. It was dope.
My mom had a Fisher-Price...
Everyone had Fisher-Price.
It was a turntable, a record player.
I had a cassette player that I listened to Appetite for Destruction in as I flipped my G and R sides in it.
Yeah, G and R.
I had the Fisher-Price cassette player as like a 5 or 6 year old, and then I'd steal all my older brother's cassettes and just rock out.
He said, Shane, this ain't even cassette. This is C motherfucking B.
Just think, in that Fisher-Price cassette player that was meant to play your Raffi cassettes.
Mm-hmm.
I was stealing my brother's Wasp Fuck Like a Beast cassette.
Yeah, that those lyrics were never meant to be played through a toy.
Yeah. That's what I was doing. 6 years old, rocking out to Wasp.
That poor toy, if it was alive like Toy Story, was like sad and in pain going, oh my God, help me, please.
It was just like self-destructing, literally.
Literally.
Maybe that's why it ate the tape.
Fisher-Price eats the tape.
Hell of a conversation with Cliffham Notes.
Cliffham Notes. Cliffham Notes Part 1, and this is a new series we're going to be doing. Hope you all enjoy.
I loved it.
And
good idea.
There you have it, folks.
It's midnight 21 on Saturday the 14th. I'm heading into work at 1:30 in the a.m.
I'm going to go upstairs and...
smoke a bowl.
Probably.
You enjoy your weekend. I will go keep delivering your packages throughout the evening.
I might be buying some stuff, so you might have to come bring it to me.
It's funny you bring that up. I actually went into the facility a couple nights ago where the 1.6 million boxes get sorted in 3 hours or less.
And did you find my packages?
I did not. There was more than a few coming down the belt that I wasn't able to look for the Winslow address on.
The conveyor.
It's craziness.
Oh, yeah. I could imagine. It's like a fucking city.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's...
I'd love to walk in there and just nonchalantly look at one of the workers and be like, yeah, Cape Coral, Florida. Did you see that tonight?
Yeah, right. I'd love to walk in there with a camera and do like a 10-minute walkthrough live video app of us walking through saying, all right, this is how you do it.
This is how you do it. I don't know why you can't find my package because I really need to find that right now.
I'm sure that'd be a good way to get fired.
Yeah, no cameras are allowed in there. They kind of frown on that.
Yeah, they have their system probably. They don't want ups trying to steal their design.
So many rules in the year 23. Michael Jordan, Air Jordan era.
Yeah, it's the Jordan year.
That was fun, dude. Well, let's do it next week.
I'll be around same time next year.
Don't forget to vote. Evil or Blitzkrieg, one has to vanish for the rest of our lives. You are voting for the one you want to stay, though. The one you want to keep is what you're voting for. Do the right thing, as Jeff Winslow would say.
People.
Blitzkrieg. For the picture, I'm just going to put up a picture of peas and rice.
Peas and rice. And then the devil's face.
For evil,
face.
I'm
going
to put up a picture of Mustaine during the Big Four.
Yeah, just put up a picture of all the snare drums.
Oh, I don't like peas and rice.
I like snare drums.
I like saying that Lars Ulrich was a fanboy last week. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
Dave's trying to make too many news clickbaits, and it's not going well.
It is going well because here we are talking about it. Here are all the news articles talking about it. He's doing he's smart.
I love Blabbermouth.
Even bad publicity is good publicity. He learned that back in 84.
That's what Eazy-E said when he was in NWA and he got invited to the White House to have lunch with George Walker Bush. Yeah. Sorry, Herbert H. Bush.
Yeah, George Washington Carver. Right.
Eazy-E got invited to the White House because of Straight Outta Compton. That's the sign of really fucking things up.
That's a sign of making it right there.
All right, man. Season 11, episode 3. I'll see you soon.
Later. Bye, Pizzle.
And bye, Pizzle. Just think of the mail we're going to get from Pizzle about my quote about pulling teeth. I can't even imagine.
it's not even a song. No, you're going to get a text.
Oh, he's not going to be happy.
He's going to text and he's going to say, hey, listen, don't talk about that song like that and just say goodbye, motherfuckers. You guys just drag it out and you drag it out and he just absolutely loves it. So bye, Pizzle.
Bye, Pizzle. We'll shut the fuck up now. We know you're burning precious gas in your Ram waiting to go inside of the office or the house.
Whoa,
bye.
Whoa. No, hold on. Before we end it, I have to say something about the Ram. He came over to my house. He fixed it. There's no more rust on it.
No.
It looks like really good shape.
Fix a flat?
Yeah, he fixed a flat in his fucking wheel wells. No, seriously, he
the Ram is looking like pristine.
Wheel flares on the wheel wells, and it looks really fucking good. I was surprised. He did a great job on it.
It's been a busy man.
You got to see it. You're going to be like, damn.
I'm going to text him and say, send me the Ram.
You're going to be like, dude, you just knocked off 100K miles off that bitch just by doing that.
Oh, I'll have this thing for 2040. No problem.
Oh, he'll have it for another 200,000 miles.
Just like his Reebok shoes from sixth grade.
I got some Reeboks.
Check you later, Pizzle.
All right, later.
All right, man. See you soon.
All right, bye, Pizzle.
And bye.
And bye.
And goodbye.
Bye.
Reeboks for the win.
And bye.
Living and dying, laughing and crying. Once you have seen it, you'll never be the same. Life is in the fast lane, just how it seems. Hard and scary, it's dirty and mean. Most I've arrested, it's how I live my life. I can't take it any other way. Most I've arrested, it's how I live my life. It's going to take a breath away. For nothing, it's full speed or nothing. I'm taking down, you know, whatever's in my way. Hitting your pieces, shooting the line. Sending the shivers up and down my spine. Moons of rest, how I live my life. I can't take it any other way. Moons of rest, the sign of living past. It's going to take your breath away.